If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A leaked draft of a U.S. Supreme Court opinion indicates that the Roe v. Wade precedent that established a constitutional right to an abortion may be overturned.
The question of abortion has surrounded the Supreme Court for half a century. It would be hard to overstate its significance, certainly in the 21st century, for the Supreme Court and for the country.
Plus, the SEC staffs up its crypto fraud unit, and write-downs in Russia drag on BP's earnings. It's Tuesday, May 3rd. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The U.S. Supreme Court could be poised to overturn 1973's Roe v. Wade decision that established a constitutional right to an abortion, according to a leaked Supreme Court draft opinion published late Monday by Politico. The draft, dated from February, couldn't be independently confirmed, but legal observers said it appeared authentic. The Supreme Court spokeswoman declined to comment. The 67-page opinion, marked as a first draft, declared that Roe was egregiously wrong and deeply damaging, and that Planned Parenthood v. Casey, a 1992 decision that limited but didn't eliminate abortion rights, prolonged the court's error. The draft was labeled the opinion of the court, implying a majority of justices had agreed with it. However, it doesn't necessarily represent the court's ultimate decision or even the majority's current thinking. The draft opinion concerns a Mississippi law that bans abortions after 15 weeks. The court's decision on that law had been expected by the end of June or early July. The apparent leak represents a nearly unheard-of breach of the court's private, behind-the-scenes deliberations on a blockbuster case the court hasn't yet publicly issued. We'll have more on the implications of the opinion reflected in the leaked document and the leak itself later in the show. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has set a quick timetable for Senate action on President Biden's request for a $33 billion aid package for Ukraine that would provide it with more weapons and longer-term economic and humanitarian support. Schumer said he expected the chamber to begin the legislative process as early as next week and that he hopes bipartisan agreement on the legislation can be reached. Later today, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is scheduled to deliver a virtual address to the Wall Street Journal's CEO Council. London-based oil giant BP has taken a $25.5 billion pre-tax accounting charge related to its decision to exit its holdings in Russia, including its stake in government-controlled oil producer Rosneft. BP said that charge dragged it into a more than $20 billion headline loss for the first quarter. While the charge is by far the biggest financial hit tallied by companies pulling back from Russia after its invasion of Ukraine, WSJ Energy reporter Jenny Strasberg says BP's earnings were a mixed bag.
This is definitely a two sides of the coin quarter because on the one hand, there's a big charge. On the other hand, you have soaring oil and gas prices driving really strong trading profits and underlying profit at BP. And you have investors also responding to an expansion of BP's share buyback plans.
The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is boosting the size of its special unit devoted to investigating cryptocurrency frauds and other misconduct, adding 20 more investigators and litigators as the agency increases federal supervision over the unregulated industry. To date, the SEC has resolved most crypto investigations through settlements, but as the agency pursues cases against bigger and more successful companies, regulators could have to take more claims to federal court. In addition to cryptocurrency issuers and trading platforms, the SEC says its expanded crypto assets and cyber unit will scrutinize newer assets, such as non-fungible tokens or NFTs. And U.S. home prices continued to surge in virtually every corner of the U.S. during the first quarter as mortgage rates rose rapidly. The median sales price for single-family existing homes in the U.S. has now climbed to more than $368,000, according to a new report from the National Association of Realtors. That represents a 15.7% increase from the first quarter of last year, as buyers rush to lock in purchases before mortgage interest rates increase. Commodity prices for a number of key metals, including copper, aluminum, and tin, have fallen in recent weeks from highs that were hit after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. WSJ Markets editor Quinton Webb joins us now with a look at what is going on here. Hey, Quinton.
Hi there.
So much has been made about how vital many of these metals are to everything from manufacturing to construction. So why then are prices down, of all things?
Well, there's a couple of things going on. One thing that's happening is we're seeing a significant slowdown in China, related in large part to the country's kind of tough efforts to combat COVID-19 through a series of lockdowns. Now, that is both kind of denting consumer demand and making it harder for factories to operate and so on. And you might say, why does China matter so much? Well, it's just the elephant in the room when it comes to many commodities. So, for example, it accounts for about half of all copper demand. So when China's appetite for commodities starts to slow, the global markets feel that very strongly. And on top of that, we've seen this huge rally in the dollar against a range of commodities. And most metals are priced in dollars. So that tends to make the metals more expensive for buyers outside the US, and that sort of reduces some of that appetite for metals, if you like.
So how is this all affecting markets, which had seen some investors piling into commodities in recent months?
Well, yeah, so I guess one way to think about this is some people have been dabbling in metals and other commodity markets, perhaps for the first time, as a hedge to what's going on in various other sections of the markets. And this is perhaps a bit of an unwelcome development. But we should say, of course, many commodities, including these metals, remain sharply higher on a slightly longer term basis. It's just that they've come off a bit from the peaks that they reached soon after the invasion of Ukraine.
That was WSJ Markets editor Quinton Webb. Quinton, thank you for the update.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up, we'll hear from our Supreme Court correspondent about what to make of a leaked court opinion that suggests justices could be preparing to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's after the break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A leaked Supreme Court draft opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito and published late Monday by Politico indicated that the court may be preparing to overturn Roe v. Wade, the 1973 precedent that established a constitutional right to an abortion. The draft, dated from February, couldn't be independently confirmed, but legal observers said it appeared authentic. WSJ Supreme Court correspondent Jess Braven joins us now to help make sense of all of this. Hi, Jess. Welcome.
Hi.
I think we have to begin by noting that this is a leak of a draft document, right? And that we are in somewhat uncharted territory here. What are the necessary caveats to understanding this story?
Well, the Supreme Court takes a private straw vote within days of each argument. And so where they come up with the expected decision that they're going to make, and the opinion is then assigned by the senior justice in the majority. And if that justice is not the chief justice, it's the one who's been on the court the longest, who's in the majority. So this draft opinion that has been reported, assuming it is authentic, is dated in February. That's 3 months ago. It may have changed since then. There may have been revisions in this opinion. Votes may have changed. It's not likely, but it's possible. It has happened in the past. And we don't know how the majority has responded responded to critiques from the dissenters, and we would expect there to be at least three dissenting justices given their records as judges and what they said at the oral argument in December. So the caveats are basically this: the court's decisions are not the court's decisions until they are published publicly. This has not been published by the court, so it is not yet an official decision of the Supreme Court. And even if it is an authentic document, it is a draft document and does not necessarily reflect the court's final word on the matter. Those are the caveats. However, it certainly looks authentic, and those of us who attended the argument and have followed this case and related cases over the years don't see any reason to doubt that this is the direction of the court. All signals of the court have been moving this way. It is completely consistent with what we thought the court's majority was going to do. It is completely consistent with the remarks at the oral argument in December. So there's nothing here that would be shocking in terms of content. What is shocking is that it emerged months before we expected the court to publish its decision, and it emerged through a leak, which is something extraordinarily rare from the Supreme Court.
Jess, if this draft is authentic, it would be very consequential, as it would leave it entirely up to each state to decide whether to allow abortions or not. And we know what many states might do, don't we?
We certainly know what those states might do. About half the states would immediately outlaw or significantly restrict abortion rights. It would remain legal in about half of the other states. So it would be a significantly divided country when it comes to this question of abortion rights. Of course, the political world may change to a degree in reaction to this decision, because those states where abortion bans would come into effect until now have had at least some access, if not tremendous access, to the procedure. Certainly, the question of abortion has surrounded the Supreme Court for half a century. It has led to much of the politics surrounding the court. It would be hard to overstate its significance, certainly in the 21st century, for the Supreme Court and for the country.
Jess, what reaction have we seen to this leaked draft from any politicians in Washington? After all, this is coming in a heated midterm election year.
After the report was published, the Democratic leaders of the Congress of the United States, the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and the Majority Leader in the Senate, Charles Schumer, Senator from New York, issued a very strong statement condemning the court's purported decision and specifically blaming Republicans for their very successful efforts to reshape the court in a conservative direction over the past several years. Very, very strong joint statement from the two Democratic leaders from the Congress. And a number of other Democratic lawmakers have made similar statements. There have been some statements from Republicans cheering this decision, if it turns out to be what we've read so far, saying that it's long overdue. So nothing really surprising from what we've seen from either side that has made a comment. The parties in the case, the Mississippi Attorney General Lynn Fitch, she's a Republican, and the Center for Reproductive Rights, which represents the Jackson Women's Health Organization, the only abortion facility in the state of Mississippi, both made more muted comments. Attorney General Fitch said that she's going to just wait and see what the Supreme Court itself has to say when it's ready. And the president of the Center for Reproductive Rights, Nancy Northup, said that she doesn't know if this is authentic or where the court stands at this moment. If Roe versus Wade were to be overruled, it would be the biggest setback in women's rights in a century, she said. But at the moment, abortion remains a constitutional right throughout the United States.
Jess, if the contents of this draft decision are indeed authentic, where does this fall on the spectrum of the Supreme Court's anticipated abortion ruling this year, between maybe a narrow opinion on Mississippi's state abortion law and, on the other hand, a more sweeping ruling about Roe v. Wade in its entirety?
Well, for those of us who have been following this court and did not have the benefit of internal deliberations, we certainly couldn't know for sure. We can only draw inferences from what we read and hear from the justices as the argument moves forward. But I can say for myself, this is not at all surprising. And I think that in terms of context, the conservative legal movement for decades has really been focused around Roe versus Wade and its belief that this was an egregiously wrong decision that undermined the credibility of the Supreme Court and was a tremendous example of judicial overreach. To me, it is not a shock that they would take such a dramatic move in this direction. Certainly, there are other reasons why a justice may wish to take less of a dramatic step, maybe helping prepare the nation for what's coming and so forth. But I did not see any indication that the majority of the court was interested in a half measure here. It's possible in the months since this February draft opinion, there has been movement on the court. We certainly don't know. That has happened in some cases in the past. So we have to, again, caution listeners that things can change and may have changed and may change from this date forward. Who knows if this leak will have an effect on the way the court approaches this issue, either hardening positions or making justices rethink them. We simply don't know.
What should our listeners know about the importance of this leak itself?
Well, we don't know anything about the leak. In other words, we don't know how it got into the hands of Politico. We don't know if it came from someone who works at the court or through many different hands. We don't know why a draft that is 3 months old is the one that appeared, when then almost certainly there have been more recent versions circulating within the court. So there are a lot of things we don't know about the leak. And we don't know if it was just one person. We don't know. Maybe a reporter found it in a trash can somewhere. We don't know. However, it is certainly consistent with a lot of other things we've heard. This is an institution like other institutions in the United States that has a lot of internal difficulties, has credibility problems with the public, and whose role in American government is facing a lot of criticism and distrust. Polls have suggested that the Supreme Court, the support or at least confidence in the Supreme Court, has significantly diminished in recent years. We can't say exactly why that is, but there has been a lot of politics surrounding appointments to the court and things the court has done, especially since the death in 2016 of Justice Antonin Scalia and the highly partisan battles over replacing him and replacing the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died shortly before the 2020 election in the United States.
That was WSJ Supreme Court correspondent Jess Braven. Jess, thank you so much for the update.
You bet.
And that's What's News for Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.